There is a specific kind of silence in sports. It's not the silence of an empty stadium. It's the heavy, suffocating silence of 40,000 people who showed up ready to celebrate, only witnessed a demolition. For 12 years, Indian cricket fans didn't know that silence. For 12 years, visiting teams arrived in India with a sense of dread. They knew that they were walking into a fortress. They knew the pitches would turn and the heat would be stifling. And the result was almost predetermined. You come to India and you lose. That era is over. Whatever you thought you knew about the Indian dominance at home, the myth of Fortress India has been dismantled brick by brick in the span of 12 months.
You're listening to Nelson John 360.
Nelson John 360.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Nelson John 360. I'm your host, Nelson John. And today we are having a difficult conversation. We're dissecting what is arguably the darkest month in modern Indian Test cricket history. If you've been following the headlines, you know the raw numbers. South Africa has whitewashed India 2-0 in the Test series concluding in November 2025. But the headlines doesn't do justice to the scale of this defeat. This wasn't just a loss. It was a strategic and systematic humiliation. Consider this. The defeat in the second test at Guwahati was by a margin of 408 runs. Let that sink in. 408 runs. That is the biggest defeat by run margin in the entire history of Indian Test cricket. Not in Australia, not on the swinging tracks of England, but right here at home. Now, this loss surpasses the 342-run defeat to Australia in Nagpur way back in 2004. It wipes out records that stood for decades. And this isn't an isolated incident. The South African whitewash comes immediately on the heels of a 0-3 drubbing by New Zealand just a month prior. We're looking at two consecutive home series whitewashes in a single year, something that has never happened before in this manner. Today, we aren't just ranting about a loss. We're trying to do a forensic audit of this failure. We're going to look at the spin trap that backfired, the batting averages that have plummeted to historic lows, and the leadership crisis involving head coach Gautam Gambhir. If you're an Indian cricket fan, like most of us, this episode might hurt. But as we say on this show, we can't fix what we don't understand. So let's try and get into it. To truly understand the gravity of where we stand today, we need some context. In sports, recency bias is a real thing. We often think the current momentum is the best or the worst ever. But in this case, the historical data confirms our worst fears. Let's rewind the clock between 2013 and September 2024, an 11-year stretch where India was virtually invincible at home. In that entire decade-plus period, spanning 52 matches, India just lost four home tests. Four losses in 11 years. That is dominance on the level of the 1980s West Indies or the early 2000s Australians. Now, when you compare that to the last 13 months, since October 2024, under the tenure of head coach Gautam Gambhir, India has lost five home tests. I want to repeat that because it sounds almost impossible. We lost four times in 11 years previously. Now we have lost five times in just seven games. The win percentage, which used to hover comfortably around 79%, has crashed to 28%. This is statistically the worst home record India has produced since 1959. We have to go back 66 years before most of us were born, before the era of Gavaskar, Kapil Dev, or Tendulkar, to find a period where India was this vulnerable on their own soil. The South Africa series specifically, which concluded this November 2025, ended a 25-year streak. It was South Africa's first Test series win in India since the year 2000. For a quarter of a century, South Africa came here and failed to conquer the final frontier. This year, however, they didn't just win, they dominated. And we need to talk about the nature of these losses. These weren't fighting losses where the game went down to the wire on day five. These were capitulations. The Guwahati Test, which ended in that 408-run deficit, will go down in the record books for all the wrong reasons. When you lose by that margin, it indicates a total system failure. Bowling, batting, and field placement. It signals that the opposition didn't just beat you, they outclassed you in a condition that were supposed to favor you. We are seeing the shattering of national pride. The concept of Fortress India wasn't just marketing, it was a psychological weapon. Teams lost the match in their heads before the first ball was bowled. The aura is gone. The fear factor has evaporated. Now, teams look at India and see a wounded animal, not a predator. How did we get here so fast? How did a decade of dominance unravel in less than a year? The answer starts with the pitch itself and a strategy that has spectacularly backfired. If I were to be honest, for decades, the Indian strategy for home dominance has been relatively simple. You prepare turning pitches, what we often call rank turners. You unleash world-class spinners like Ashwin and Jadeja. You watch the visiting batters who aren't used to that level of spin crumble, and you win. It was a formula, it was a habit, and frankly, it worked beautifully, until it didn't. What we witnessed in this South Africa series and the New Zealand series before it is the complete backfiring of this strategy. We call it the spin trap. Now, the problem with setting a trap is that you have to make sure you don't fall into it yourself. Let's look at the Kolkata test. The pitch was prepared with visible cracks, designed to turn squarely from day one. The expectation was that South African batters would struggle against the turning ball. But here is the irony that defines this series. The South African spinners outbowled the Indian legends on India's own pitches. The standout performer was Simon Harmer. He was brought out of county cricket retirement specifically for this tour because South Africa did their homework. Harmer finished the series with 17 wickets. That number, 17 wickets, is significant. It's the most wickets ever taken by a South African spinner in a test series in India. He broke records previously held by legends like Dale Steyn. Think about that. A visiting spinner coming to India and breaking bowling records. The South African spin attack led by Harmer and Keshav Maharaj exploited these conditions better than the home team. Now, this brings us to a terrifying realization. The spin them to death strategy has actually killed India's own batting confidence. We have created a generation of Indian batters who are excellent at playing pace because they focus so much on succeeding overseas in Australia and England. But in doing so, have they forgotten the art of playing spin at home? The data suggests yes. We are so accustomed to seeing visiting teams dance to our spinners' tunes that we forget our own batters have to face the same music. When you prepare a pitch that turns squarely from the first hour, you turn the game into a lottery. You move the skill gap between a good batter and a great batter. You make survival the only metric. And South Africa was ready for survival. They practice on turning pitches. They prepared mentally for the grind. India, on the other hand, seemed shocked by the conditions they presumably asked for. Now, it raises a fundamental question about pitch curation. By obsessing over home advantage through extreme pitches, has the BCCI and the team management actually neutralized their own strengths? When you make a pitch a minefield, anyone can blow up. In this series, unfortunately, it was us. India stepped on that mine. Now, this brings us to the batting. If the bowling strategy was a tactical error, the batting performance was a catastrophe. Let me share with you a statistic that for me is the most damning of the entire series. In the two-match test series against South Africa, India's batting average was 15.23. Let me repeat that, 15.23. That is the second lowest batting average in any Indian test series in history. We're talking about a lineup that features some of the biggest names in world cricket, averaging what a tail-ender might average in a bad season. Furthermore, there were zero centuries. Not a single Indian batter scored a 100 across the entire series. This is only the third time in India's entire test history at home that a series has gone so south without a single home century. Now let's look at the specifics of the collapse in the first test at Kolkata. India was chasing a target of just 124 runs to win. In the modern game, 124 runs is a walk in the park. It's a T20 score. India was bowled out for 93. In the second test, when the team needed to show grit and bat out six seasons to save the match, they lasted 63.5 overs. Not even two full days of cricket. The highest scorer in the second innings was Ravindra Jadeja with 54 runs. When your bowling all-rounder is your highest scorer, you know your specialist batters have failed. This points to a massive transition crisis. We're watching the Kohli and Rohit era end. But the successors aren't ready to take the baton. Virat Kohli is just 36 years old and is averaging under 30 in his last 20 tests. Rohit Sharma, the captain, is under immense pressure after losing back-to-back series. And his reflexes aren't what they used to be. The middle order, names like KL Rahul, Rishabh Pant and Jadeja failed collectively. And the next generation, the players we are pinning our hopes on, Jaiswal, Gill, Dhruv, they all looked exposed under pressure. Head coach Gautam Gambhir admitted this himself. After the loss, he said, "I don't think ever in Indian cricket something like this has happened where the transition is happening in the spin bowling department and in the batting department at the same time." He's right. This is a dual transition. But admission of the problem isn't the solution. The reality is the batters looked technically deficient against spin. They were playing with hard hands, pushing at the ball, getting tapped on the crease. The soft hands defense that marked the era of David and VVS Lakshman seems to be a lost art. This batting collapse isn't just about form. It's about preparation. And that leads us directly to the man in charge. When a ship sinks, the captain and the navigators are the first ones questioned. In this case, the scrutiny is falling squarely on head coach Gautam Gambhir. Let's look at his record, because numbers don't lie and they don't have favorites. Gambhir has been in charge of 19 tests. In that time, he has lost 10 matches. He has won 7 and drawn 2. Now, to put that in perspective, losing 10 out of 19 matches is a loss rate that Indian cricket hasn't accepted from a coach in decades. Specifically at home, his record is 5 losses in 7 games. No other coach in Indian cricket history has overseen 2 home series whitewashes. Gambhir now holds that unfortunate record. He is the first. This is where the storm is brewing on social media and in the cricketing fraternity. The question is loud and clear. Should Gambhir resign? Now, to be fair, and we try to be fair on Nelson John 360, is it right to blame the coach entirely? The batting technique problems existed even before Gambhir arrived. The aging of Kohli and Rohit was inevitable. Father Time is undefeated. The transition was always going to be painful. And let's not forget, the pitch preparation strategy is often a directive from the BCCI, not just the coach's whim. Gambhir defended himself after the loss. He said, "It is up to the BCCI, but I'm the same guy who got results in England and Champions Trophy." He is banking on his past reputation as a winner. But here's my question to you and to the board. Is past reputation a good enough answer when the present reality is a crumbled fortress? When you lose a home series to New Zealand 0-3, you can call it a fluke. But when you follow it up immediately with a 0-2 loss to South Africa, it's a pattern. It suggests a dressing room that is confused, underprepared, and lacking confidence. Gambhir was brought in to bring a hard-edge, winning mentality. But instead, the team looks more fragile than it has in years. The Gambhir era so far has been defined by historical lows rather than the grit he was famous for as a player. So where does Indian cricket go from here? Here's the harsh reality. India doesn't play another test match for 15 months. Now that's a lifetime in sports. 15 months to sit with this defeat. 15 months to look at the replays of those wickets falling. It's a long time to hurt. But it's also a long time to rebuild. And make no mistake, a rebuild is what is needed. We cannot paper over these cracks. Here's what I think needs to happen based on the analysis of experts and data that we have. First, invest in domestic cricket. We need to give the Ranji Trophy proper attention. This is where test batters are made. If our domestic players aren't playing on quality pitches against quality spin, they won't survive in test cricket. Second, blood the youngsters. We need to give Jaiswal, Gill and Dhruv more opportunities. But we also need to protect them. We can't throw them under the bus or the wolves and then drop them after two bad games. They need a long rope to build the next era. Third, and perhaps most importantly, rethink the pitch strategy. Stop preparing rank turners that neutralize our own batting talent. We need to prepare pitches that reward skill, that last 5 days, and that allow our batters to build innings rather than just try to survive every ball. Finally, we need honest conversations. We need to talk about Kohli's form without the halo of his past achievements. We need to talk about Rohit's captaincy. We need to evaluate if Gambhir's methods are actually working for this group of players. Indian cricket has bounced back from the dark periods before. Remember the 2011 whitewash in England? It led to a dominant home run. Remember being bowled out for 36 in Adelaide in 2020? That led to the historic win at the Gabba. Crisis can create champions, but only if we are honest about what went wrong. Fortress has fallen, the streak is over, the records are broken. The only thing left to do is pick up the pieces and build something stronger. I want to hear from you. Who do you think is responsible for this collapse? Is it the players, the coach, or the board? Drop your thoughts in the comments. You can connect with me on Instagram. Just look me up, NelsonJohn360. I'd love to hear from you. If this analysis helped make sense of the chaos, please do remember to hit that follow and share this with another cricket enthusiast. I try and break down the biggest stories that are shaping our world and look past the headlines to the data that matters. Until next time, this is Nelson John and you are listening to the Nelson John 360 podcast. Stay curious, stay passionate, and let's hope for a better innings next time.